This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Before we get into today's episode, Your Money Briefing is exploring what you need to know to become a homeowner and sustain your home. You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, available only for WSJ subscribers. Now on to the show. Here's your money briefing for Monday, April 22nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Artificial intelligence programs like ChatGPT can boost productivity in the workplace, if you know how to use them.
These tools still aren't perfect. They still get things wrong. And so you don't want to rely on these tools to give you some important figure that you present to your boss, for example, when maybe it just made it up.
We'll speak with Wall Street Journal reporter Cordelia James. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
AI can streamline work tasks like sorting through emails and preparing presentations, but can also get you in hot water. Wall Street Journal reporter Cordelia James joins me. Cordelia, how popular is the use of AI in the office today?
AI in the office is growing in popularity. When you look at where we were a year ago, only 8% of employed people were using ChatGPT, for example. Now you flash forward to today, and that number has risen all the way up to 20%. So it's really interesting to see how many more people are curious about using this technology to improve their work in the workplace.
What kinds of tasks is AI typically used for?
You can use AI for all sorts of things, but especially at work, you could use it to help with brainstorming or drafting documents or emails. And when it comes to like visuals and presentations, it can help like really take those kinds of tasks to new heights in a way.
As AI use grows, which industries are expected to benefit the most?
Productivity boosts from AI are estimated to be worth trillions of dollars over the next decade. And some of the industries that will benefit the most include things like sales and marketing, customer care, software engineering, product development. These are different areas where you might use the generative AI for those tasks that I mentioned earlier.
If AI can add productivity, then why do workers run the risk of getting in trouble if they use it?
Number one, you never want to enter confidential information into these tools without your employer's permission, because you don't want to be training these bots and have someone else stumble upon information that you inputted into these tools. So that kind of privacy concern is one way that people can land themselves in hot water. Another thing to know is that these tools still aren't perfect. They still get things wrong. And so you don't want to rely on these tools to give you some important figure that you need to present to your boss, for example, when maybe it just made it up.
So AI does get things wrong.
Yes, AI does get things wrong. Even while I was testing some of these tools, it was interesting because I could attach maybe a document that I wanted to refer to, and the AI would still, overall, it would be really impressive what it could do, but there were some moments where it would probably make up a name or maybe make up a figure. And so those are things that you definitely want to go back and double check for sure.
Take me through how you tested these programs.
when testing, essentially, I was like playing around with various prompts that you might want to use at work. For example, if you're drafting an email, like what's a pretty safe email that I would want to write a lot faster? And so I would play around with prompts, making sure that they're as detailed as possible so I can try to get the best results from them and then see what exactly would these different bots spit out. And also just like compare to see which bots are better at doing one task than other or what have you. And I tested both like the free and the pro versions of these tools just to see how much better are these capabilities to use at work, especially if you're paying for them.
What are some of the pitfalls somebody could run into if they use AI to write an email?
Let's start by saying like some of the cool things that you can do with AI and email, first of all. So I get a gazillion emails in my inbox. And something that's really cool about Copilot Pro from Microsoft, you can summarize lengthy email threads. And then also in terms of drafting your own emails, you just type in what exactly do you want to say. But ultimately, you do want to go back in and tweak it to your liking so it sounds like you, or like make it more specific depending on what it is that you're looking for. But it's a good template, like a good place to start there. And then some other tools that you can use with an email is some of the proofreading tools. So with those, you'll write an email and you think it sounds great, but then using this AI tool, it can tell you that maybe you should tweak your tone because you're coming off as maybe a little bit too abrasive, or maybe make this shorter because you're taking too long to get to the point, or you're not being as specific. It can guide you through things like that.
Oh, so it can sometimes act as a safety net.
Yes, exactly. And about those proofreading tools, in my story, I did say, don't overdo it, because I found that I would be like, this email is great. And it would still tell me a million things that I could do to fix it. In terms of like productivity's sake, you don't want to spend too much time in these tools. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose of using them. And so there comes a point where you make whatever tweaks, use it as like a guide, but ultimately you just have to go ahead and send it.
How can AI help somebody make a presentation, well, without getting themselves in trouble?
Yeah. So with the tools available for like presentations, for the most part, you want to lean on the visual aspects of this. So if you're like looking for clip art, for example, for your presentation, you just can't find the right one. You're spending too much time trying to find something. You can just ask the bot to generate it for you. So if you're like listing a whole bunch of dates, for example, the generative AI behind that tool will build you a timeline that maybe would have taken you a little bit longer to do. There's a lot of the visual aspects that are really helpful. And then if your company has some of the enterprise versions of these tools, then where it can also be really cool is it can create presentations based on documents that you have. So maybe you have a whole bunch of notes and you're like, I need to turn this into a presentation really fast. You can refer to it while you're talking to the chatbot and it'll generate a presentation for you.
Some people might argue they spend too much of their time on Zoom calls or in meetings. I mean, I think we all argue that, right? In meetings. Can they just send AI to go take notes for them in the meeting?
Yeah, there are tools that are available now that do that. So Otter AI's Otter Pilot, you can essentially just send this AI chatbot to attend meetings for you. And it takes notes, it delivers summaries, it gives you key action items. So that way you know, like, what's the next thing that I need to do after this meeting? You don't even have to go. But then there are also some other companies, such as Zoom, that are also playing around with these tools, which have, like, their own different kinds of permissions. So with Zoom AI Companion, for example, whoever is hosting the meeting is the one that can allow AI to take notes and everything. And so you'd want to talk to the host and ask for permission for that. So that way you can get those notes after the meeting, even if you can't make it.
So the user has to be very careful how they use AI so it doesn't inadvertently get them into trouble.
You do have to be careful about how it is that you're using these tools, because the problem that people run into is like they want these bots to do all of the work for them instead of using it as a stepping stone to get to where you need to go and using it effectively. You don't necessarily want to draft whatever email to your boss about something, and you wouldn't just send it without looking over it and making sure that everything looks right. In the same way that if you're skimming through an earnings report about something and you want ChatGPT or any of these bots to pull out the key points, you wouldn't just take those key points and just send it off to everyone and all your colleagues. You want to make sure that you're finding where exactly did that show up yourself. You still need human eyes here. These AI bots are assistants to you. They're not meant to replace you entirely.
So they're not putting us out of business.
They're not putting us out of business yet. All they right. do need human minds to help them out.
That's WSJ reporter Cordelia James. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with WSJ's Dominique Mossbergen to discuss why it's a good idea to plan your funeral in advance, but pay for it later. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.